This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been sitting in this chair waiting for the clock to strike so we could get started. And the we, it's not just me and you, it's me and you and Drew Hammer. Drew, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. What an honor.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Denise and I are so glad you're here with us. Hey, what do you think about Russia?
Oh, no, I don't think you even understand. I have fallen in love with Russia. I had no idea what a magnificent city it is. And I'm an architectural freak. I love it because I'm into renovating houses. And
well, you've done 42 different houses.
Yes, I have. I certainly have.
You even redid Henry Mancini's house.
I did. That was a wonderful, fun one to do.
You've had a very interesting life.
I have. Praise
the
Lord.
You can read all about it in her book called Hammered. There she is. Denise and I think she's so pretty. And this book is just, when I say riveting, I really mean it is riveting. You know, there's a lot of books that I pick up and I just think that they're just filled with fluff. They're not interesting to me. I could not put this book down, especially when it gets to the chapters where it talks about how she had to forgive Michael. It is so powerful. And I kept thinking, this is a book that's going to change people's lives that are struggling with issues of forgiveness. So if you want to know more about how to get this, just go online or give us a call. And by the way, when you reach out to us, would you please let us know how to pray for you? The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. I'll hear you. I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. And we really believe that. And we know how to pray scripturally. You can pray by yourself, but it helps to have somebody pray with you. So call the number on the screen or send us an email and we will really pray for you. But Drew, today I want to talk about forgiveness.
That's a big one.
Because what you wrote in this book is like a master class on forgiveness. But I'd like to first go to the words of Jesus.
Please.
In Luke chapter 17. And Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. And the word offenses in Greek is the word skandalon. It describes something that entraps you or something that causes you to stumble or to falter or to lose your way. And Jesus says it is absolutely impossible to live life without the possibility of being offended. And what I've learned in life is people are offended for two reasons. You can take every offense in the whole world and put them into two categories. It's really that simple. People get offended because of what someone does, or they get offended because of what someone doesn't do. Those are the two reasons people get offended. That's it.
Well, we could just stop right there.
I mean, people say, I can't believe they did that.
The gist of life.
Or they say, I expected more of them. They didn't do what I thought. Those are the two reasons people get offended. And Jesus said this, okay, listen to this. In verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against you, and the word trespass would be better translated, if someone violates you. Well, you know, when you're violated, it's really hard to get over it. And when somebody really does wrong to you, you want to take heed to that person. But Jesus said, take heed to yourself. And the Greek says, get a grip on yourself. Well, that's half the battle right there. Get a grip on yourself. If your brother or anyone violates you, rebuke him, which means you need to be honest, you need to confront it. And if he repents, forgive him. And the word forgive is the Greek word aphiemi. And the word aphiemi means to permanently dismiss, to release, to send it away with no right to ever reach over, grab hold of it, retrieve it, and bring it up again.
Wow.
A lot of people think they've forgiven, but they keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. And when Jesus said, guys, if you've really forgiven, you've got to let it go and let it go forever, the disciples responded by saying, Lord, increase our faith. And then Jesus answered in verse 6 and said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, well, mustard seed was the smallest seed in Israel. It was the equivalent of saying, quit telling me you need more faith to do this. You don't need more faith. You just need to make a decision. And if you'll make a decision, you can speak to this sycamine tree. Well, the sycamine tree was the tree used to make caskets. And if you hold on to unforgiveness, it will bury you. It will put you 6 feet under. It will totally destroy your life. Mm. And Jesus said, you don't need a lot of faith to do this. You just need to make a decision. And it's not enough to think about releasing something. You've got to speak to that spirit of unforgiveness. You've got to tell it to go. And Jesus said it will obey you. And the word obey is a Greek word which means to fall in line. It describes children who obey their parents or soldiers who obey their captains. Your emotions will obey you if you will tell them what to do. Now, if you just listen to your emotions, they'll run you all over the place. Mm. But you've got to come to a place where you say, you know what? I'm not going to be run all over by my emotions anymore. I'm going to speak to it. I'm going to tell it to obey. And I'm going to command all those foul emotions to be cast into the sea. And that is what Drew did so well. I mean, she is like a master class in forgiveness. So I just wanted to lay a little biblical foundation. Drew talked to us about forgiveness.
Wow, that was so powerful. I can't wait to go back and listen to that again.
Well, you know,
I have a
book called You Can Get Over It.
Oh.
And it's all based on these verses. And do you know, it's one of my least popular books.
Really? Because maybe people don't want to get over it.
They don't want to get over it. I have a whole series on this that is so wonderful.
Wow.
And people hardly order that series because when they hear it, they're like, I'm not willing to do that. You have to make a decision.
You do. You do.
Talk to us about it.
Well, you know, I was able to forgive Michael when it was bigger than me. And a lot of times...
What do you mean when you say when it was bigger than me?
Well, maybe I didn't want to forgive because you feel like you're the victim. You know, you did this to me and you did that to me.
You were violated.
You know, yeah. And, you know, some people like to hang on to that stuff for some reason. And to me, bitterness is just this evil root that will eat you from the inside out. And like I had said yesterday, it doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts you if you don't forgive. And I actually, you know, God helped me and really healed my heart. So I not only forgave Michael, but we became very close. But I went through a recent situation where it was really, really difficult for me to let it go and forgive because, you know, I was out going on my book tour and I wasn't perfect in the relationship. Trust me, I did things wrong. And I had repented and I had asked this person to forgive me. But then that person turned around and was calling everybody I knew, saying that I had done really terrible things that I had not done. You know, she's not who she says she is, the whole thing. And so I think forgiveness is something you have to continue to work on. And, you know, Jesus kept saying, do not take offense. And I loved how you described the word offended because it put a whole new meaning to it. But forgiveness is probably one of the most difficult things we will deal with in life. Don't you feel?
I think so.
Because I've always said, you know, God doesn't fail us, but people do. That's the bottom line. And it's really hard when it's people that you felt are the very closest to you.
Who didn't do what you expected or they did something you would have never expected.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that amazing how simple that is?
It's so simple that it's embarrassing that we get caught up in it, you know?
Wow. What was the hardest moment for you to forgive?
With Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I think I was so upset and angry because, you know, I just kept thinking in my mind, it was infidelity in our marriage. And, you know, the second time he wasn't willing to give it up. We'll just put it that way. And I just, it kept going through my mind, you're going to throw away your beautiful family that we've created together for basically moments of pleasure. That's really what it got down to. And it shows you that the devil is just such a liar. But I believe that if, I really think that probably, I could be wrong, 90% of marriages usually, I believe, fail because of infidelity. You know, I think very few people just walk away from a marriage because you walk down the aisle and you love that person. But it's such a deep betrayal that just literally stabs you in the heart because it's just such a betrayal. I know I've just said that twice, but that's really what it is. So I think I was just so shocked that he would throw away the beautiful life that we had built together. But also, he had gotten addicted to OxyContin because he had a terrible back and had many back surgeries that were really debilitating. And the doctor said, you cannot get through this without taking serious, you know, meds, OxyContin. And he did get addicted. And I think that was kind of the downfall. He couldn't hold it together. But God restored him. And we developed this beautiful friendship. Did I still miss him as my husband? Of course I did. But it is what it is. And I just gave it to the Lord. And he allowed me to not only forgive him, but I had such a deep love. And I had a real compassion for him. Because, you know, he didn't come from the stable Pentecostal pretty much perfect family that I came from. If you could ever come from the best family in the world, I would say it was my family. And I'm sure your three sons say the same thing about you.
I hope so.
I know they do because I watch them. You know, I've met them. And I know you're so proud of your sons and how they're now carrying the torch. And they each, God's given all of them different talents and abilities, and one runs the media, and you know, each one of them, you know, are carrying on that torch in your ministry. So it's so beautiful. But I think that was a very long answer to what you asked me, but I think that was the hardest, that I couldn't believe that he would allow that to destroy our family.
Did you have to decide again and again to forgive, or were you able to come to a moment when you said, no, I'm bearing this?
I think it was a process, actually. I think I had to work through the process because the hurt kept coming up. You know, the deep-stemmed hurt kept coming. And I would like to say that I made a decision and boom, from that moment on I did. But eventually I got to that.
So what would you say to somebody listening to us right now? Because there's a lot of people listening that have been through some level of betrayal.
Yes.
Maybe by a spouse or by a friend or by a pastor.
Yes.
What would you tell them they need to do?
Well, I think it's very simple. A, you have to give it to God, because I think a lot of problems that we have today are bigger than ourselves. So that's why God created us, because we're not supposed to live this life without Him. We're just not. We were created to be in relationship with God, because there are things in this life that are bigger than we are. But forgiveness is the greatest tool you'll ever bring into your life, because it frees you. And if it's too hard for you to do it on your own, that's when you go to God, because He's bigger than we are, and say, Jesus, you've got to help me with this. I need you to help me to forgive. And that's what He did in my life.
You say in your book, which is so wonderful, that God has a plan A for every life.
Yes.
And when plan A fails, it doesn't mean your life is over.
No.
Because God really does have a plan B.
Oh, yes, He does.
Talk
Thank
to us
God.
About that.
Well, you know, at the time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I mean, my life's over. Like I had said, when I was in Israel, I wasn't even sure that I was going to be okay. And then when I had that moment with the stone in Caesarea, I had this epiphany that I'm going to be okay. And God does that. Is He not only restores, but He gives us a future and He gives us a hope. So what He did in the plan A is He gave me a passion to work with women that have gone through divorce. And a lot of them have major financial struggles, because divorce shatters your finances as well. As a lot of women, their whole lives, they've been a mother, they've been a wife, and, you know, they maybe don't have the job skills to go make it on their own. So I just think God has such a great plan B, and it may not be exactly what you wanted it to be, but you can flourish because God will restore what's happened in your past and give you, it says He gives you a future and a hope.
You know, I'm thinking about a lot of people that are in marriage or they're in relationships. It hasn't ended, but their home is filled with strife. Mm-hmm. They've just got unforgiveness. They've got, you know, backbiting, back and forth, just an exchange of words that's just so unpleasant. And Denise and I have a wonderful marriage.
Yes. I love watching the two of you together. You can see it. It reverberates.
Well, thank you. But it doesn't matter how good your marriage is. Sometimes you have a thought where you wish the other person would be just a little bit different. And I want to give you a scripture that really, really helped me. And this is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And be ye kind one to another. Mm-hmm. Be, by the way, in Greek means be becoming. You got to work on it all the time. Be kind one another, tenderhearted. Okay, here it is. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know the Greek does not say forgiving? Are you ready for what it says?
I'm ready.
Gracing one another.
Oh, wow.
As God for Christ's sake has
put grace on
graced
us.
You.
That's exactly, wow.
I think about all the times that God loves me so much that there really are times when He just ignores something stupid that I do and He just graces me. He just loves me so much, He just lets it go.
Thank God.
And in the same way that God has graced me, I'm to grace Denise.
Amen.
I don't have to perfect everything Denise does. I don't even have to tell her every time she does something that I don't think is right. I don't have to do that. Sometimes it's right just to grace another person. Just let it. It's not such a big deal. Just let it go. And I think that in marriage, whether it comes from the man or whether it comes from the wife, a lot of times we just make mountains out of molehills, that we ought to just let it go. Come on. Is it really worth that much attention? Is it worth that much intensity? A lot of stuff we can just let it go. We can just grace one another. And that's really helped me.
Oh, that's so powerful.
I'm such a recipient of grace. I don't know how I can't give it to others. And you said in a previous program that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you.
No, that's scary, isn't it?
It is. We need forgiveness.
Every day I need forgiveness.
Well, Drew, what would you say as we wrap up a week of programs, and thank you for being with me.
I'm so honored. Thank you.
What would you say to people that are struggling with forgiveness? They thought they had a fairy tale relationship and it crashed. And they're trying to pull it all together and figure out how to move forward. What would you say to them?
Well, that God restores. That's all I know, is God restores. And I will say this, really helped me. I wasn't out to write a book. I got a D in my first English paper in college.
Well, you did
not
a good
writer.
Job on this book.
Well, I received the ultimate compliment from friends. They said, reading that book felt like just sitting down and having coffee with you. I just write like I talk. That's all I know. But what I will say is I journaled. And when you journal, you can go back and read your journals, because I really thought in my heart that I had forgiven. I was like, oh, I totally forgave him. But there were still little things, because remember I said it was kind of a process? Because little things come back in your mind, because the devil does not want you to forgive. Because if you forgive, then you're restored, and then God can use you moving forward. If you stay in that bitterness and stay in that unforgiveness, God can't use us. So one of the devil's greatest tool is to lie in our minds and, you know, bring this stuff, regurgitate all these things back in. But I would journal, and when I would go back and read the journals, I would go, well, I thought I forgave, but I was still just kind of trying to dig that knife in just a little bit to say you were wrong and I was right. And by the way, not everybody is right 100%. That's just the way it is. But I think it's very important to not let the devil rob you of those lies and to keep bringing these things back on you. Because when Jesus forgives, he says he throws it into the den of forgetfulness. He chooses not to ever even go back. So that's what we have to do. And when these things come back into our minds, we have to say, devil, I rebuke you. You are not going to bring that back in my mind. My mind is restored. I have forgiven. I love this person, and I'm going to move forward.
That is true freedom.
It is.
Wow. Would you please pray for our listening audience?
Yes. Yes.
Please.
Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this time together where two or more are gathered. Here you are, Jesus,
yes,
in our midst, which means you're with everybody listening to this program. And Jesus, I know firsthand that forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things that we do in our lives, because hurt people hurt people. It's just the way it is in this life. But God, you are our restorer. But you can only restore us if we're willing to come to you and lay all of our hurt feelings, lay our problems at your altar and say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. I need you to give me the forgiveness I need and to be able to throw it into the den of forgetfulness, never to return. And God, you knew when you created us that we cannot do this stuff on our own in this life. And that's when we turn to you, Jesus. And that is when you say, here I am. And you come in and you restore us. And we thank you for that. And Jesus, help every single person that's listening to this, God, to be able to lay it at your altar. And we thank you that they will be restored. But it's a choice. We have to lay it down. And we thank you that when it's bigger than we are, that's when you do your greatest work. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you for having me.
Haven't you enjoyed having Drew Hammer on the show this week? I'd love to hear from you to know how it's ministered to you. But I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. This is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked a great question. How can I really be sure that God has forgiven me of my sin? Well, in 1 John 1:9, the Bible tells us if we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, if you have confessed your sin, that means if you've agreed with God concerning your sin and you've confessed that it's sin, Jesus will forgive you. That word forgive means to permanently send away. He will dismiss your sin from you. And the verse goes on to say He will cleanse you. And that word cleanse means to really, really cleanse. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So according to 1 John 1:9, if you've done your part, if you've confessed your sin, He will do His part to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
It is amazing what can happen when you're willing to say yes to God. In Rick Renner's series, Inside the Hammer Story, Betrayal, Healing, and Hope, Rick and his guest Drew Hammer unpack Drew's riveting testimony, full of ministry to seemingly unreachable people, struggles to forgive betrayal, and so much more. Her inspiring story will remind you that God's hand is always at work in your life, and you never know when He might place you in an unlikely position of influence in someone else's life. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this five-part series will help you to feel qualified wherever God puts you. In addition, we are offering you the book Hammered by Drew Hammer. In this book, Drew shares intimate and anecdotal stories about marrying into the Dr. Armand Hammer dynasty. From the excitement of mingling with world leaders and royalty to the emotional pain of a difficult divorce and how her faith was strengthened through it all, you can order her faith-filled memoir for just $19. Don't miss this special offer, the series Inside the Hammer Story, Betrayal, Healing, and Hope, and the book Hammered. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code to order. call or go online today.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is a new little studio we have built in our Tulsa facilities so that when we're in the United States, we can also do programs here. But oh, how we thank God for this building. And from here, the Word of God is going to the ends of the earth. And here, we're receiving calls from people from all over the world. This facility is so very, very important. And we're grateful to God for it. And we're grateful for our partners who are helping us to retire the debt on this building. We call it the Ministry Expansion Project because when this debt is retired, it's going to release those finances to go to the ends of the earth. And guess what? Now we have already paid off 85% of the debt. We just have a little ways to go to wrap it up. And if you're already a giving partner to help us do this, I just want to say thank you to you for everything that you do. And if you've not been a part of the giving team yet, I invite you to join the giving team to help us in the Ministry Expansion Project to retire the debt on this facility so these finances can be released to take the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. You know, today we've wrapped up these programs with Drew Hammond. I was thinking, what if she'd become a bitter person? If she'd just become imprisoned in bitterness, she would have never walked free and God could have never used her again. It is so very important that we forgive for the sake of the other person and also for our own sake. But Drew covers all of this in her book, which is called Hammered. This book is so powerful. And in fact, if you want it or the whole series from this week, just go online or give us a call and we'll tell you how you can order yours. It is just amazing. But Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the power of forgiveness. Lord, you've graced us and you want us to grace others. Help us to do that so they can walk free and so each of us can be free as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'll see you in the next program, but remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit Renner.org.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.